This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And yesterday afternoon at Lone Depot Park in Miami, the newly named Lone Depot Park, the Marlins and the Rays kicked off the 2021 season, and we had a terrific ball game on our hands. Sandy Alcantara went toe-to-toe against Tyler Glasnow. And as always, with a recap, here's Glenn Geffner.
Well, we knew coming into the season, Marlins had some terrific young pitching. The question a lot of people asked was, would this team be able to score enough runs to win a bunch of games, get back to the playoffs here in 2021? What happens on opening day? They get terrific pitching, and they don't score at all. They lose a 1-0 heartbreaker to the Rays, a disappointing way to start this 2021 season for the Marlins. Sandy Alcantara matched up with Tyler Glasnow in this one, and both starters were absolutely tremendous today. Now, in the top of the first, Sandy got the first two outs. Yoshi Tsutsugo on a fly ball to center field, Austin Meadows on a fly ball to left. But then he got into trouble for one of only two times in this game. Randy Arozarena with two outs singled. Brandon Lau worked a walk. And when Yandy Diaz was hit by an Alcantara pitch, the Rays had the bases loaded with two outs in the first inning. Sandy trying to escape, facing the veteran center fielder Kevin Kiermaier.
Right before first pitch, we're going to see a good bit of that changeup here today. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He came right back, down and in. With the changeup, a little harder that time, 91 miles an hour, struck him out, and they strand three.
That changeup was a big pitch for Sandy Alcantara in this ball game today. And beginning with that strikeout of Kiermaier, Sandy would retire the next seven consecutive Rays batters. But while Glasnow was hanging zero after zero on the other side, we stayed scoreless into the fourth. That's when the Rays threatened again. Brandon Lau on the first pitch of the inning doubled to right field. So the Rays in a 0-0 game and a man at second, nobody out. Sandy came back, though, facing the middle part of the batting order. Got Yandy Diaz and a fly ball to center. He struck out Kiermaier. That was out number two. So two outs and a man at second in the fourth. Sandy trying to extricate himself from the inning, went after the shortstop, Willy Adames. Inning number four. Sandy comes set, delivers the 0-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Alcantara strands the leadoff double in inning number four. So Sandy retired 10 of 11 at that point. We stayed 0-0. Sandy would make it through six scoreless today. He retired 16 of the final 18 batters he faced after Tampa Bay had loaded the bases against him with two outs in the first inning. For Sandy on opening day, six innings, two hits, no runs. He walked two, struck out seven, hit a batter, 83 pitches, 52 strikes. He could have gone deeper in this ball game, but in a 0-0 game with one out in the sixth inning, Donnie decided to pinch hit for him with Magnarice Sierra. That was it for Sandy. Six scoreless left the 0-0 game. On the other side, Tyler Glasnow, six scoreless innings. He mixed in that new slutter, part slider, part cutter that he's debuting here in 2021. He was terrific, allowed just one hit, didn't walk anybody, struck out six. The only hit Glasnow allowed was a two-out infield single by Jesus Aguilar in the first inning. After that, he went on to retire the remaining 16 batters he faced in the game. He set down 18 of 19 overall. It was a terrific outing for Glasnow, but like Sandy, he left after six in a 0-0 game. Dylan Floro got the top of the seventh. Former Dodger making his Marlins debut, pitched a 1-2-3 inning, struck out a pair. In the bottom of the seventh, Ryan Thompson was the first man out of the pen for the Rays. He struck out Starling Marte. Jesus Aguilar singled. At that point, Jesus was 2-for-3. Everybody else was 0-for-2021 for the Marlins up until that point. But Adam Duvall then popped to shortstop, and Brian Anderson hit into a fielder's choice. That was it for the Marlins in the seventh. Thompson a scoreless inning into the eighth. Still no score. Yimi Garcia got the eighth for Miami, as he got the eighth a lot last year. He was magnificent last year, allowed one run in 14 games, did not allow a home run in the entire 2020 season. And he got the first two outs today. A couple of long fly balls. Pinch hitter Manuel Margot to right field. Yoshi Tsutsugo to the warning track in center. So in a 0-0 game, Garcia had two outs, nobody on in the eighth inning when he fell behind Austin Meadows, two balls and no strikes. Hawks, seven Ks. He beat Nola in the Phillies in opening day last year. Get a no decision today. There's a ball well hit, deep right center field. Racing back Duvall. He's at the wall looking up, and it's gone. Austin Meadows, a two-out homer on a two-ball count here in the top of the eighth inning. The Rays take a 1-0 lead. And they handed that 1-0 lead to the back end of their bullpen. No Nick Anderson for the Rays to start this 2021 season, but they still have Pete Fairbanks. They still have Diego Castillo. And Fairbanks got through the eighth inning with one out. Jorge Alfaro had an infield hit and stole second base. Miguel Rojas, a loud line drive out to left for the second out. Pinch hitter Garrett Cooper then walked. So the Marlins had two men on base in an inning for the first time in the ballgame. Had a man at second base for the first time in the ballgame. Tying man was at second. Alfaro, the go-ahead man, Cooper was at first. But with two outs, Corey Dickerson into a fly ball to center. Marlins went down in the eighth. And we went to the ninth, still 1-0 Rays. Ross Detweiler started the top of the ninth, struck out the first two men, Brandon Lau and Yandy Diaz. Then back-to-back hits, Kiermaier and Adames put two men on with two down. Adam Simber came on when he walked Mike Zunino. The Rays had him loaded, but he got Manuel Margot to bounce into a fielder's choice, five unassisted, escaping the ninth, keeping this a 1-0 game. And the Marlins were down to their final three outs. Diego Castillo, the flame-throwing right-hander, came on to try to slam the door. And slam the door he did. Starling Marte struck out to put the finishing touches on an 0-for-4, four strikeout season debut for him. Jesus Aguilar gave this crowd a bit of a charge when he sent a ball just short of the wall and left. But the left fielder Margot able to track it down for the second out. Aguilar just missing. Would have been a game-tying home run. You know, with two outs in the ninth, Adam Duvall was the final Marlins hope on the day. He went down swinging. Duvall an 0-for-4 Marlins debut. And the Rays win this one 1-0. For Tampa Bay, one run, five hits, no errors, eight men left. For the Marlins, no runs, three hits, no errors. They strand four. Ryan Thompson, the winner out of the bullpen for the Rays, he's 1-0. Yimi Garcia, unbeaten last year, the loser on opening day this year, he's 0-1. Diego Castillo, save number one. Time of the ballgame was 2 hours, 44 minutes. The Marlins, who were never, not for a single day, below 500 a season ago, now they start this year at 0-1. By the way, this is the fourth time in club history the Marlins have been shut out on opening day, just the second time they've lost a 1-0 game to start a season. In 1996, in the old football stadium, they hosted the Pirates for opening day, lost that game 4-0. That was Paul Wagner beating Kevin Brown. In 2006, they lost to the Astros 1-0 on opening day. That was in Houston. That was the only previous 1-0 season-opening loss for the Marlins. How about this ballgame? Dontrelle Willis started for the Marlins against Roy Oswalt. Willis, five scoreless innings. Josh Johnson came out of the bullpen in the sixth. That was rookie Josh Johnson back in 2006. He got through the sixth inning, but then he left the game with the bases loaded and two outs in the seventh. Joe Borowski came out of the bullpen trying to keep the game scoreless. Morgan Ensberg was the hitter for the Astros, and with the count of ball and a strike, Borowski uncorked a wild pitch that brought home the only run of the day. Roy Oswalt, eight innings of five-hit shutout ball with a walk and eight Ks. Brad Lidge, a scoreless ninth inning. The Astros, a 1-0 win over the Marlins on opening day, April 3rd, 2006, in Houston. That was the second all-time Marlins shutout loss and the only previous 1-0 loss on opening day. The last time Marlins had been shut out on opening day was by Steven Strasburg of the Nationals, 2-0 back in 2013 up at Nationals Park. Strasburg beat Ricky Nolasco in that ball game. So again, just the second time Marlins have lost 1-0 on opening day, just the fourth time in their history. Now in 29 seasons, they have been shut out on opening day. Marlins fall to 12-17 overall in season openers as they begin their 29th season here in 2021. Marlins had three hits in this ballgame, all of them singles, two of them infield hits. Their only hit to the outfield was a Jesus Aguilar ground ball single through the right side in the seventh inning off Ryan Thompson. A quiet day offensively for the Marlins, who only had one at bat all day with a man in scoring position. That was the Dickerson fly ball to center that ended the eighth. They were 0 for 1 men in scoring position. The Rays went 0 for 5, but the Rays got the big hit of the day. Austin Meadows on a 2-0 count, a 2-out solo home run to right center in the top of the 8th, and the Rays spoil opening day here at Lone Depot Park. They beat the Marlins today 1-0.
Tough loss for the Marlins, 1-0. Marlins are going to play a lot of baseball games like this season. They are built on terrific pitching. Just got to hope they've got enough offense to win some of these tightly contested ball games. But that was just one of 162. The Marlins are back at it tonight at 7:10. First, let's hear from Marlins manager Don Mattingly.
No, Sandy was his stuff's always good. I thought he actually sprayed a little bit, but his stuff's just going to end up being good. He went through a couple innings there. Looked like the slider got really tight. Changeup seemed to be good all day. You know, his stuff works. A little bit of spray today, but obviously we're nitpicking when you go six and you don't give up any.
Yimmy in the 8th, Donnie, on that home run. Was there anything that you were seeing in spring from him as well, where he was also giving up a couple long balls?
I didn't. Can you say it again?
Yimmy in the 8th, giving up that home run. He was also giving up some home runs there during spring. Is there anything that you've seen from him that's making him susceptible to that?
It just seemed like Yimmy missed his spot. And really in spring, a couple of them early, it was challenging the strike zone. And just missing spots, and really the same today. Looked like he was trying to go up and away with that, and kind of pulled it right down into the middle, which is not a great spot for that guy. But for the most part, I feel like Jimmy's been throwing the ball good all spring. He's a guy that we count on and we trust. And obviously today that didn't work out with the just kind of missing that spot there.
Jordan.
Yeah. Hey, Donnie. When Jesus Aguilar, when he hit that ball in the 9th inning, did you think that you guys had the tie game there off the bat? And then just his game overall, getting 2 hits to help you guys in the little bit of offense you guys were able to get?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of came off at the right angle and in the right spot. You thought it might have had a chance, but it kind of has, it didn't get small. When you say that, you can tell certain balls, they get small quick. And that one kind of just didn't accelerate in that term. So I knew it was going to be, I felt like it was going to be close, but when it first came off, it's at the right trajectory and in the right area of the ballpark that you think you can kind of miss one there and get it. So it was, really is a good swing. Just barely missed it.
Christina.
Donnie, what was sort of the thought process taking Sandy out after 6 innings? I know, part of 2021 will be monitoring guys or whatnot, but is there, what was sort of the game plan there?
No, he was at 83 or 84. He had one more inning at max. He'd give us 6 scoreless. His spot was coming up. I mean, we got to try to score at that point. Really for the first time out, you're always kind of watching guys, and we'll be watching guys all year. Felt like he did his job, got us to that point, and to kind of give up an out is what we're doing now with pitcher in a sense. Right there, we got to try to score, we got to try to win.
Daniel.
Thank you, Jason. Donnie, on Glasnow and what you saw from him today, the guy seems like he's getting better year after year. And just as you guys, the Rays have a ton of pitching and depth, and it seems like everybody can do just what they did.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you look at Glasnow, and his stuff is, just top of the league type stuff. He had a good breaking ball today, it looked like. I know he's kind of – he's mixing a slider now. It gives him another pitch. But his stuff was good today. Honestly, this is one of those games you feel like we're going to play, a lot of. And we're going to have to figure out, our ways to score and to win games. And I think we will. But, yeah, these guys got good pitching. Anybody they bring in, for the most part, has got good weapons and gives you different little bit of a different look. But, for the most part, I like the bats. They didn't work out. I thought Jazz swung the bat good tonight. He squares up 2 balls. Aggie gets a couple of hits. We didn't square up a ton after that, but I thought our bats were you know, going with some sort of plan. And the guy just got good stuff and beating us to a spot.
Let's go back to Christina.
Donnie, you touched upon it a bit pregame and maybe a little here, but do you almost see the Rays as a blueprint for you guys moving forward? You guys always seem to play them fairly close, even though they've been on the winning side more.
Well, I do. And, you know, obviously you build your organization the best way possible, but, you know, usually when you play those guys, you know you're getting good arms. They play you in tight games. They match up with you. They have different combination of guys. You know, they got you don't look at them and go, you're not seeing the guys that they're paying. Anybody's paying $300 million, but you see good players up and down the line. And when they bring a guy in, it's a good player. And so it's like a bunch of really good players. And they're good at what they do. They've been doing it for a while. So you have to respect what they do. I'm not saying that's exactly how we should do it, but, you know, having a lot of good players in your lineup is, and with good pitching is not a bad way to go.
Alex.
Thanks, Jason. Hey, Donnie, you kind of touched on it already with Jazz hitting those two balls hard, nothing to show for it, but got good will on it. Just how do you think he handled himself as a whole today with the emotions and everything else? Obviously a big spot for a kid on opening day. So just hit on that real quick. Thanks.
I think good. I mean, obviously he squares up the first two balls he swings at today. I think he likes the energy and the lights. And, you know, Jazz, I've talked about it a lot. He sees the ball good, and he sees it early. He quits early on balls, and he's going to have to keep working to keep shortening. His route at times can get long, but, you know, he's got everything it takes to be a really good player here. And so I think he likes the lights. I think he handled it great today.
And Ethan?
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, Donnie. Going back to the decision to pull Sandy, is that decision different last year with the DH? And then also on Sandy, what has impressed you more with him this spring, his stuff or his leadership ability?
I think last year, I mean, we're kind of hypotheticals, but probably his first time out, if he goes 83, we're probably not going to try to run him in the beginning and send him out there to kind of get to 100 the first time out. It's probably built for that, but usually that first time out, you're going to take care of guys, get them out, get them a good start, and get down the road. So I think even with the DH, makes the decision a lot tougher. Today it was fairly, like, clean because, you know, we got to try to score. And I think his stuff is impressive, but really what's impressed me most about Sandy is just the continual – drive to get better. And that's what is the difference maker for me from a guy that's just going to be a guy with good stuff that's going to be okay no matter what he does, and a guy that has a chance to become like a top-notch number one. When you give him the ball, you feel like you're getting seven innings every time he goes out there. Sandy's moving towards that. Not that we can do that this year, but he's moving in that direction. That's really what impresses me most about Sandy and the way he goes about it, his leadership. He doesn't have to go talk. He can do it with his work and the way he goes about his business. That's what you want your guys to emulate.
Daniel.
Yeah, Don, one more from me. You mentioned the DH and the decision being maybe a little bit tougher, but did you miss doing double switch and taking those decisions?
Well, I mean, I like the National League game from that standpoint. That being said, you know, I felt like the DH should be here this year, honestly, because of what happened last year, and it puts pitchers in danger. It's been a long time since they've hit. Disappointed that they didn't get to that agreement. But the National League game definitely makes you work, right, because you're sitting there, you know, which guy do I use? You know, which guy do I have to keep? You know, trying to pick the right spot for guys and when you got to double and when you leave it alone and all of those types of decisions. So the National League basically really keeps you on your toes as a manager.
All right, Dave Hyde.
Yeah, that was part of my question about the designated hitter, but the other part was Glasnow. Evidently, according to the Tampa Bay announcers, was under rules not to swing. He was told by the coaches not to swing at any pitch. It kind of looked like that. Do you understand that, expect that in some form from the AL teams?
You know, it's a long range approach. You know, you need your guys, and like, so are you going to take all spring, you know, let these guys hit to try to keep them from getting injured and take chances that they get injured in spring, or are you just going to let them go up there and stand and if they get a chance to bunt? So I'm sure teams will take different routes, but it's hard to question what they do with that. You could tell he wasn't going to swing it after the first, you know, two or three. And it's hard to question that because him swinging the bat, what's it doing for you when they're only playing the National League so many games a year? So it's almost like there's giving up at bats.
Don Mattingly following the ball club's 1-0 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays on opening day yesterday afternoon. Again, a very well-pitched ball game. Yimmy Garcia served up the home run to Meadows. Other than that, pretty clean all the way around. Marlins just didn't have enough offense. Hopefully they do tonight at 7:10 when Pablo Lopez takes on the right-hander Ryan Yarbrough. 7:10 first pitch, airtime 6:40 with Marlins on deck along the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.